Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 84. Psalm 84, we'll be reading verses 8 through 12. Largest book in our Bible, Psalm 84. Once you've found Psalm 84, if you'll please stand out of reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 84, beginning verse number 8, if you'll help me read verses 9 and 11 this morning, the odd verses. I'll begin Psalm 84, verse number 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And let's pray this morning. Father, again, to have the opportunity to open up your good book, Lord, thank you so much for the word. I do pray this morning that you'd arrest our attention for what you have for us. Holy Spirit, be upon this place. Help us have listening ears, open hearts for you, the speaker, as well as the listener. In your name we pray. Amen.
For a noble cause, spent your time in seeking humanity's applause. Others have made long journeys to strange and distant lands, all searching for the answers in the heart of man. I too have tried in vain to be good enough for him, not knowing I could never make the payment for my sin. But God in heaven came to me, he used the Spirit's sword. He answered all my questions in his word. Nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood. My heart is yielded to his call. My soul has found its wings. My mind is drinking in the peace that knowing Jesus brings. Still many grope in emptiness, a place I lived so long. If only they could sing with me this song. Nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood. but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
Well, I put the shout in, you want it? Hallelujah. That's good, Tony. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that. Thank God. All the past erased away. My goodness. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Thank you for the good song today. That's the kind of music that you need to help build a service. God bless you. Psalm 84. I want to speak to you on this subject. Take the challenge as well as the comfort from this passage today. Take the challenge as well as the comfort. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for that wonderful song. We do rejoice today in the shed blood of Jesus Christ that has washed us and made us clean from our sin. Father, there might be somebody here today under the sound of my voice, and I don't really have a message for salvation purposes, but you can speak through the words of that song to a heart here who's in need of Christ and His blood to save their soul. And I pray, God, that You'll draw that person to Christ this morning. Help me, fill us with Your power, anoint, touch, and help for these moments. We'll thank You for it. We need to hear from You, O Father. And so please speak through us in Jesus' name. And amen. Friday was a very busy day. I did not stop to look at any news until about 8 o'clock or a little after 8 o'clock Friday evening. I don't watch news on television. I get the news off the internet, usually off of the Fox News website. That's the one I go to most often. And when the page opened, I was shocked by the information coming off the pages about the terrorist attacks in Paris this past Friday. And the girls were still up, and I spoke to my wife, and I said, my goodness, there's been a slaughter in Paris. And I didn't go into any detail with her because of the children. I do not have any special affection for the French people or for France as a whole, but immediately I felt bad for them and their country in light of all that took place over there Friday. I know the number killed there pales in comparison to the attacks on our own country, what was it, 14 years ago now? But still, people, for that many folk to be killed in attacks that were initiated within a 30-minute time period. Now, I understand that the concert went on for a couple of hours, but they were initiated within 30 minutes of each other. Seven different attacks. Bang, 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 bang. And when you look at that, for all that to take place in a 30-minute time period in the same city, all over the city, is a horrible, horrible thing. And it is, by the way, don't get caught up in all this anti-police stuff. I want to tell you something. You know what you got when you got no police? You got anarchy. You say, well, I know an abusive policeman. I know an abusive politician, too. I know an abusive president, too. I know an abusive plumber. And probably an abusive preacher. Because anytime you insert man anywhere, you're going to have problems. That's retarded. Anti-police? Don't get caught up in that, folks. Please, don't go to this church and get caught up in anti-police rhetoric. All right? So anyway, you got anarchy. And you know those places, it's terrifying when you realize how much planning and organization had to go into those attacks. Those places were strategically chosen by people filled with hate who were faithfully serving their God, Allah, and His holy book, the Quran. Now, I want to tell you something. What a difference between our one true God and His book, the Bible, and that junk. All right. You know, our God says, take the gospel message to all people and win as many people to Christ as possible. But if they don't convert, then they go on and live their lives unconverted. And God deals with all that at the end. Their book says to convert as many as possible to Islamism. And if the people don't convert, kill them. That's what their book says. So much for the religion of peace. Okay, though our politicians would have us believe that's what it is. Now, we're living in a day when leading people in America are afraid to say the obvious. We are afraid to call Islamism what it is. No one dare say anything negative about Islamism or Muslims, but buddy, you can have the floor for anything negative about Christianity. And it doesn't matter if you are black, brown, red, or white, if you are construed as being a conservative Christian, you are open game for ridicule, scorn, lies, and on and on and on it goes. Because everybody's fearful. Everybody's fearful to stand up and say the truth. That's not a religion of peace. It never has been, folks, for millenniums. And you can trace it back to Genesis 14 where God said about the founder of the Islamic people, he will be a wild man. That's what God has to say about it. Okay? Now you got to work with people who are caught up in the world's philosophy and the world's rhetoric about Islamism. Oh, you got to work this. Some of you go to school where Islamism is touted. And you learn how to do this according to Islam and that according to Islam. But we don't dare mention Jesus. And we can't dare talk about Christmas. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're in more trouble than we can shake a stick at this morning. But anyway, I digress. I'm back to Paris. Concert halls and restaurants and bars and sporting events were the targeted spots of the attack. Those attacks, and as God's people, we wouldn't endorse a rock concert or bars. But the point is, people, these folk were gunned down in the routine of life. That's the honest truth. Fear. Terrifying, paralyzing fear is the result of things that happened like they did in France this past Friday. Brother Harrison, Brother Keith Harrison, was here last night for this activity. And he told me, he said, man, what did you think? I said, man, that was just sickening. He said, Brother Terry, he said, I had trouble sleeping Friday night. After he got reading a bunch of those articles. He said, I had trouble sleeping on Friday night. And I wouldn't doubt that, you know, amongst a congregation this size, that there was some trepidation after finding that news out on Friday evening. Maybe you didn't find it out till Saturday morning. I don't know what you do with the news. But you read, it's disturbing, to say the least. Is it not? And I think all of us have the same thought. It's coming here. As many folks as we've let through our borders, it's coming here. Bob was telling me in the Sunday school class, telling our class upstairs, you won't believe what they're doing for the immigrants. Giving them a $1,000 check when they walk in and sign up, and so forth and so on. It's incredible, folks. My mother-in-law immigrated to this country. I'm not against immigrants. My wife is the daughter of an immigrant who came in legally and wasn't handed anything, was given an opportunity to go to work in a country where you could work your way into some kind of an existence. That happened. In those days, our country was great. Everybody has the same thought process. Man, that's coming here someday. It's going to happen here. And so I want to come this morning and I take you back to a passage that I preached from 14 years ago in September of 2001. I looked it up in the archives. Not the message, the passage. Pardon me. After those attacks on our country. And I want to point out again in Psalm 84 this morning, two truths that I believe we need to look at and claim. All right? And I want to say again, the title of the sermon is Take the Challenge as Well as the Comfort. Now here's what I mean by this. The first truth I want you to see is a comforting truth. I want you to look with me at Psalm 84. Look at verse number 1 here where the Bible says, How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Pardon me. Verse number 3, look down there. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for thyself, where she may lay herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Drop down to verse number 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. And then look down again at verse number 12, the very last verse in the chapter. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now, if you followed the reading of those four verses closely, you noticed one thing repeated in all four of those verses, and that is God is referred to as the Lord of hosts. Did you see that? Four times. Our Lord of hosts. O Lord God of hosts. Folks, our God is the Lord of hosts. Now, what does that mean? This is one of the many different names of God that we find in the Bible. I believe most of you probably already know, when you see the name Lord in the Old Testament, and it's all uppercase letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is the Hebrew name for God that we know as Jehovah. That's what Lord in uppercase letters means. Now, you're going to find Lord in the Old Testament with a capital L and a lowercase O-R-D. But when you read Lord in your Old Testament, all uppercase, His name, that name is Jehovah. Jehovah is the most frequently used name for God in the Bible. Basically, it means, listen very carefully, one who is what He is. That's what Jehovah means. The self-sufficient, unchanging God, one who is what He is. In eternity past, He was what He is now and what He will be in eternity future. In the present, He is what He was in eternity past and what He will be in eternity future. And in eternity future, He will be what He was in eternity past and what He is now. You kind of get the fact that He ain't changing, okay? God is unchanging. He is the unchanging, self-sufficient God. And by the way, church, in case you ever get caught up in some Mormon or Jehovah's Witness debate who denies the deity of Jesus Christ, another proof that Jesus Christ is God is Hebrews 13:8 that says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Jehovah. That's the unchanging, self-sufficient God. Now, that's who He is. That's when you read the name Lord, uppercase, Jehovah, the unchanging, self-sufficient God. Now, so that we might understand Him a little better, other names were added in the Hebrew language to the name Jehovah. Now, you see it here four times, Lord of hosts. Lord is Jehovah. Hosts is the word Sabaoth. Spelled S-A-B-O-A-T-H for what it matters. So in Hebrew, His name, when you see Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, that is Jehovah Sabaoth. Now you know what Jehovah means. The unchanging, all-sufficient one, self-sufficient. What does Sabaoth mean? It's an interesting word, interesting name. It means a mass of persons organized for war or a campaign. Like you would mass an army of servants. Now listen carefully because this is the bulk of this first point right here. Simply speaking, this name teaches us that God is the commander-in-chief of an innumerable host of servants who are organized and ready to serve Him and His people. Now you know who that's talking about? That's talking about the angelic realm. Some of the angelic realm is evil. They fell with Satan. But those who didn't fall are what we know as good angels, godly angels, angels that serve God. And when you read the term, the Lord of hosts, that is a reference to the fact that our God is commander-in-chief of this innumerable host of angelic beings who are His servants. They are organized, they are ready to not only serve God, but to serve God's people. They protect us. That's exactly what it's talking about here. Now, there's two great examples of this in our Bible. Hold your finger here in Psalm 84 and turn back a few pages to 2 Kings chapter 6. There might be more than two, but I'll show you one and quote you another. 2 Kings chapter 6. And look with me here at verse number 13. Okay, we pick up the story of Elisha. If you're getting new to your Bible, if you're new to it, turn back to the left a few pages till you come to 2 Kings and look at chapter 6, beginning in verse number 13. Now, Elisha is God's prophet, okay? And he and his servant have been surrounded by the enemy. Now, look at verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. This is the Syrian king speaking. And it was told him, saying, behold, he, that's Elisha, is in Dothan. So the king of Syria was told that Elisha was in Dothan. Elisha was God's prophet. Therefore, sent he thither horses and chariots. Look at this. And a great, what's the next word? Host. What did he send, folks? He sent his army. Right? There he sent his horses and his chariots and a great host. And they came by night. Isn't that interesting? They're moving under the cover of darkness. That's what armies do. Right? So they came by night and compassed the city about, the city where Elisha was, verse 17 or verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. So the servant comes outside, he wakes up, he goes outside to get a breath of fresh air. He goes, whoa. What do you mean we, white man? You're looking around, oh, Elisha, we're in trouble. And that's when he runs in and he goes, hey, Elisha, we are in a heap of trouble here because the Syrian army, a master, look what it says in verse 15, how shall we do? What are we going to do? Verse 16, and he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. At that point, I would imagine that that servant thought, Alzheimer's, dementia, all the preaching and work has finally caught up to him. He's lost his mind. You hear what he said? He said, don't worry about it. We got more on our side than they got on theirs. Now look at the next verse, verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So between Elisha and that Syrian host was an unseen host. It takes a host to guard against a host. So here between Elisha and this army of Syria was this host of angelic beings. The Bible says the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He couldn't see it with his natural eyes. It was the spirit world. And Elisha prayed and said, God, let this man look into the spirit world. And when he did... Now, you know what? This is speculation. This is Terry Angel. This is not black and white Bible, okay? I don't know that Elisha saw those. He just knew the truth. He knew it. He didn't have to see it to believe it. He believed it. He said, oh, don't worry about it. We got more out there with us than was with them. Lord, let him see. Whoa! Man, here was this flaming chariots and swords and these angelic beings. This is what we're talking about, folks. The Lord of hosts, the commander-in-chief of an innumerable company of angelic beings organized and prepared to protect God's people. That's God. That's a blessing to me. Now look at, let's go back to Psalm 84. Also, I would just give you a verse here in the New Testament, Matthew 26, 53. When Jesus was in the garden, remember when the soldiers came with, who betrayed? Judas Iscariot. Remember when they came to take Jesus? And remember Peter took his sword and tried to chop one of them's head off? Tried to chop his head off? And, oh man, I got to tell you all a story. Can I stop here and tell a story? Can I just take a minute to tell you? We got these granddaughters at the house. It's so much fun right now. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. So, but anyway, I cut myself shaving this morning. And I couldn't stop the bleeding. And I knew when I went down, the girls, you know, looked and said, you know, so I went downstairs. And so, Papa, what happened? I said, well, what happened was, I was downstairs this morning and I was being too noisy. And Mimi said, if you don't stop, I'm going to cut your head off. Because you're going to bother those girls and wake them up. And I tried to be quiet, but the next thing I know, she grabbed a knife and she swung at my head and missed and got my chin. And the littlest one is just staring. She's just staring at me. And then she looked at her and said, you really did that? No. Oh, you've heard of pistol packing mama? This is sudden, this sword-bearing joys. But anyway. Oh, Peter tried to chop his head off, and he ducked. He cut his ear. Vicky Scow, good to see you. You've been sick and took that fall. I didn't see you sitting back there. God bless you. Took his ear off. And remember what Jesus fixed his ear? Remember that? We'll get to it in a second. I'm getting there. And Jesus said to Peter and those disciples around him, thinkest, now listen to what he said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That's where we get that song, 10, he could have called 10,000 angels. 10,000. Folks, a legion could be anywhere from 3 to 5,000. And 12 legions, I mean, that's 12 times 60,000. And that's not a drop in the bucket. I'm telling you that God, look, this is Jehovah Sabaoth. This is the Lord of hosts. A lot of people are disappointed in our commander-in-chief in the White House, me included. But the child of God should look beyond the White House to the white throne in heaven and see the commander-in-chief, the real commander-in-chief, who sits in great power commanding a huge army of servants that are organized to serve Him and protect His people. That's the truth. This is not some poppy. This is not some pep rally. To say, help us, make us feel good about something. I don't have to make you feel good about it. That's Bible truth. That's what God does for us. How much He loves us, okay? So He is Lord of Sabaoth. But now, wait a minute. He's more than just Lord of Sabaoth. Look at chapter 84. Look at verse number 9. And it says here in verse number 9, "Behold, O God, our shield." And then it says in verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." Is our shield. What's the purpose of a shield? A shield is for protection. The Lord of hosts is our shield. People, look, I am all for self-defense and learning how to protect ourselves and our families, but God does a much better job protecting us than we could ever do ourselves. You've got to know that and believe that with all of your heart. So He is Lord of Sabaoth. He is our shield. But wait a minute, He's something else. Look at Psalm 84, verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun." Now, isn't that interesting? Is a sun. What does that mean? Well, a sun gives light. Remember how that army, Syrian army, moved at night? Under the cover of darkness. And everybody's caught off guard and caught by surprise. Not God. Our God is a sun. Everything is open and in front of the eyes of the one who sits on the throne in heaven. Our commander-in-chief. You see, darkness provides a cover for forces of evil to maneuver and prepare for attack. That's why night vision optics have so changed the way that armies can do battle. Man, with night vision optics, you can see in the darkest of night. Now, people, this is not a pep rally. Here is the comforting truth found on the pages of God's Word, and that is this. Our God is our sun. He is our light. Our God is our shield. He is our protection. Our God is Jehovah of Sabaoth, our Lord of hosts. He is commander-in-chief of an innumerable, organized host of angelic servants who are at His disposal. He sees everything. He is our protection. And I am going to take comfort in the fact that God is Lord of hosts. He is that. All of that means that we have the same commander-in-chief providing light and shield and watching over us that Elisha had and that Jesus had years ago. And look at the end of the verse, the end of the chapter. Look at verse number 12. "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." People, you don't have to live in fear. And that's what they want. Fear paralyzes. "Well, I don't want to go anywhere and do anything." Fear paralyzes. God does not give us the spirit of fear. If we live in fear, it's not of God. Trust Him. Now, don't be foolish. Control the things that you can control and then trust God, Jehovah Sabaoth, with the things you cannot control. But don't live in fear. Don't live in fear because He's Lord of hosts. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, the commander-in-chief of an innumerable host of angelic beings. And He is our shield and He is our sun. God is our protection. Folks, you know, we read things like and see things like happened over in France this past Friday night. You know, but I'll guarantee you, friend, there's things you and I never see and never know about that were far closer to our demise than that. But it never happened. You know why? Because God's Lord of hosts. God is Lord of hosts. Now, that's the comforting truth. Now, but you can't take the comforting truth without the challenging truth. Now, here's the challenging truth. Look at verse number 11. "In the midst of all this, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing," and He's been talking here about protection, "no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." So wait a minute, this wonderful promise of protection is not going to be withheld from those who walk uprightly. This is not just a blanket promise that God makes to anybody living any way they want to. This is a promise to people who walk uprightly. Now look, to walk uprightly means exactly what upright, upright. When you think of upright, what do you think? I think of up, I think of straight, I think of putting a post in the ground and cement and putting the level on this side and the level on that side and making sure that it's level this way and level that way. I want it to be upright. I don't want it to be crooked and leaning a few degrees either direction. I want it to be upright, straight up. It's perpendicular with the plane of the horizon. Straight up, honest, straight. True. That's exactly what the word means. It means right, and it means completely committed to God. It means straight up and honest. Now, folks, what the Lord is saying here, the best way to be protected is to walk uprightly. God is the smartest and the best way for you and I to protect ourselves. Look, I am for concealed carry. I have that card myself. I am for martial arts. I'm for any kind of home security program. I am for it all. But the greatest protection for a child of God is God. You can't have a home protection program more efficient than God. You can't have any kind of protection that's a sun that sees it all, that's a shield, that's the commander-in-chief who's on our side. The best protection for me and you is God. And the promise is He will withhold no good thing from them who walk uprightly. Those whose heart and soul are sold out and dedicated and committed to God. Look at what He said in verse number 10. Look at what the psalmist said. He said, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Do you know that the doorkeeper was one of the lowest positions in the tabernacle and temple of God? First to come and last to leave. It was not an enviable position. But the psalmist said, "I would rather have the lowest position in God's house than the highest among the godless." And I want to say again what I have said so often over these years, the worst day that you will ever have walking uprightly with God is better than the best day you have walking in wickedness. And one of the reasons is God is a sun, a shield, and the Lord of Sabaoth. He is our protection. Okay, Pastor, so what's the point? Here's the point. Here's the challenging truth. You would think that with all the chaos and all the carnage in the world today, God's people would be knocking down the door of dedication and commitment to Him. Why in the world would we not? He is our son, our shield, and our commander-in-chief of an army organized to help protect us. Why would we not be sold out, lock, stock, and barrel to Him? Especially when you open the website or turn on the television and see what happened over in France last Friday night. I don't know what it does to you, but it does not drive me in a corner like a rat running away from in fear. What it does, it says, "Oh God, I need to love You more. I need to serve You more. I need to be more dedicated to You. Because without You, I have nothing." "Well, I got a home protection system. I got concealed carry." I'm glad you do. I got one too. But I got something better than that. I've got a commander-in-chief who sits on the throne of this universe. Not just this sphere, but this entire universe. And He is in charge of an organized, prepared army of angelic beings. He is a sun and He is a shield. He sees everything. Nothing escapes His attention. Why would I not want to be dedicated and sold out and committed to that God? But the truth is, the more chaotic the world becomes, the more apathetic God's people are. Sometimes I like to bang my forehead on the pulpit. That makes no sense to me. We are dependent on God's mercy. Look, folks, I'm not going to quit going to Cabela's. I'm not going to quit going to... you can go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm not going to quit going to Cabela's. Okay? I'm not going to quit going to Chicago once in a while. I might take in a... I'm not going to quit long as... I'm not going to bunker down in my home in fear. Because that's what they want. And I'm not, by the grace of God, going to grow ulcers. Worried. Because, you know, I've got a God. And not some impersonal God. I've got a real personal God. And the best thing for me to do is make sure that I am upright with Him. I'm perpendicular to the plane of truth on the horizon, in the horizon of God's Word, and walk to please Him and live for Him and honor Him and serve. Why would I not do that? My protection depends upon Him. Every bit of it does. Why would I be apathetic? Why would I come to church less? Why would I give up on God? Heaven help. You know, it is amazing until you stop and think about the tribulation period. Remember when all those judgments of God are falling on the earth? Remember that? Remember Revelation 6, 7, 8, and all those chapters? You got all those judgments of God falling, and you would think that lost people would say, good night, I've got to get right with God. But you know what they do? It don't make any sense. But that's the nature of man. What is it that we're a little bit ticked off at these days about America and the entitlements and the dependent, they just give and it makes people what? I don't care. And God gives and God gives and God gives, and instead of His children going, oh my goodness, I owe everything to You, it's like, oh, I'm going to take a day off for God. That doesn't make any sense, folks. I don't understand it. If ever there was a time when God's people would look around the world and go, whoo, I think I'll read my Bible today. I think I'll pray a little bit today. I think I'll go to church an extra time this week. I think I'll serve God. You know, it's astounding. Really, it really is. It's amazing. It's unreal that preachers have to encourage God's people to be zealously affected for Him. You would think with everything falling apart around us that it would just be the natural result. That we'd get with the one who our very protection depends upon. It's amazing that we have to beg young people to live for God when you would think they would look around and say, you know what? No money is going to bail me out of this. And no job is going to bail me out of this. And no career is going to bail me out of this. God is the one who's going to take care of me. You would think young people would be flocking to dedicate themselves to God. Close to Him as they could be. Instead of going off in apathy to serve the world. I better set my affection on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on this earth. Our life is hid with Christ and God. And we serve this God. We live for this God. We honor and worship this God who's not some remote, reclusive, hard line. He is a loving commander-in-chief. Chief over this organized, innumerable army of angelic beings to protect us. He's our sun, our shield. What comfort we have in that, but the comfort doesn't make us apathetic. The comfort challenges us. What can I do for You today? How can I live for You today? You know, it's interesting. I think I've used this before. An eagle's an interesting bird, and probably Christians are referred to as God's people referred to as eagles more in the Bible than anything else. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I think most of you probably already know this, but they say that an eagle has two eyelids. Two sets of eyelids. And one of those eyelids is like a protective film. And when those young eagles, those eaglets, you know, when they're just learning to fly and getting out on their own, away from mama's nest and so forth, there are other birds of prey larger than them. Now, as they grow, they become a large bird of prey. You ever seen an eagle? That wingspan is just like, whoa, wow. And they're birds of prey. Other birds of prey bigger than those little eagles. And when those other birds of prey bigger than those little eagles start after those eagles, you know what those eagles do? They turn and fly directly into the sun. Because that second pair of eyelids, it's like a protective film, and an eagle can fly directly into the rays of the sun and see. But the birds of prey, are you getting the picture? So when you and I are fearful, you know the best place to go, folks? I've got to get my 357. Yeah, I know. I'm for that. I hope you got one. A 308, and a 45, and a 9, and however many you can buy. But that's not where you run. I get a, what is it? Oh, those security systems Danny sells. What's the name of that company? ADT. They've got the sign in the yard. The burglars will see it. They'll stop it. When you're fearful, or when you feel like you're under attack, you know the best thing to do? Fly into the sun. Turn your face toward God. Go close to Him. Love Him. Serve Him. And not just for the protection, but that's part of it. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly, this great, wonderful commander-in-chief, this general over 5 billion star general over all this innumerable host. He's a sun, nothing miss. He doesn't miss anything. He's a shield, 360 degrees. Live for Him. Love Him. Dedicate your heart to Him. Honor Him. Sir, why wouldn't we do that? In light of all that's going on in the world today. Why, folks? Why would we grow less zealous? Why would we let apathy rise in our hearts and be careless about God? He's our Sabaoth. He's our sun. He's our shield. Fly to Him. Dedicate. Honor Him. Serve Him. He's the great Lord of hosts. And when you read that in your Old Testament, I hope that God will help you remember just a little bit of this sermon. He's the Lord of hosts. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word and all that it teaches us. We thank You, God, for the comfort we can find in this passage. Not just this passage, but other places in Your Word. And Father, along with that, we thank you for the challenge that we're confronted with in the chapter. We need to walk uprightly. We need to clean our lives up, make sure we're okay with You. Not apathetic, zealous, ready to serve You, honor You, live for You. Reach out, speak to some heart this morning, somebody, God, who's slipping into apathy about You and their service for You. And Lord, just help us in this day and age. You are our protection, and we're grateful. Help us to do our part, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Is anybody here this morning say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, God spoke to my heart. I need to fly to the sun. I need to be more dedicated, honor Him better in my life. In light of all that God does for us, God just spoke to me about this particular this morning. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up in the air this morning? I'll do that in just a moment. God bless you. I appreciate some young people. I see your hands today. That's a blessing to me. Thank you. Take your hands down. Of all people, you youth, should be dedicated, sold out to God. I don't want to get so heavy and overburdened from the pulpit with all the things that are going on in our own country that I could talk about that you probably know, some of you know, it's frightening. Young people, hear me today. Head toward the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, Son of God, Jesus. Head to Him. Dedicate, sell out, commit. I appreciate the testimony of the young man Wednesday night before church. Pastor, the sermon last Sunday night so spoke to me. I am anxious to serve God. I appreciate that. He's 10 years away from getting a CDL license, but he wants to drive a bus. Dedicate. God withholds no good thing from them that walk uprightly. Don't get attracted by the world. It's lures. The bait and switch. You'll pay the price. Don't do that. Please. I don't know why I'm saying this morning, but I just feel impressed to say it. I will pray for you in just a minute. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm born into God's family and have eternal life waiting me in heaven. I'm not sure about that. Pray for me when you close the service. I will in just a moment. If you'll slip, all you got to do is slip your hand in the air. Be honest, I don't know that I'm saved. I'll see your hand. I'll pray for you in just a minute. Not by name. Just mention you in the prayer as an unnamed person. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody here say, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized, and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism? You come if you're ready to do that, and if you want to know more about it, you're open. The altar is open. But why don't you come this morning, child of God? You raise the hand. Why don't you take the first step of really being serious about it and hit the altar and say, God, I need to shore up on this. I need to shore up on my dedication. I don't care what who thinks or what this person thinks or that person thinks. I need to shore up on my dedication to you. Fly to the sun this morning. Father, bless the message. Speak to our hearts. Help us, I pray. I pray for our youth especially, Lord. They are the ones that face the future more than any of us that's uncertain. But God, You are a rock, a refuge. You are a buckler, a shield, our high tower, our fortress. May they see that You are their greatest protection. Help them to fly to You this morning, dedicated. And the rest of us as well, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come? You raised your hand. Don't wait to see who else is coming or not coming. Take the initiative. Take the step. Come on out this morning. I need to shore it up. I need to shore it up. I don't need to grow more apathetic. I need to grow more zealous about God. My personal life, my family, our family. I need to be baptized and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You come. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come today? We can show you how to find Christ, how to find salvation. It's in Jesus.